This person writes, I have intensified my practice over the last year and a half. I meditate in the morning and evening with a longer session devoted towards devotional practices in the morning and listen to and read about Dhamma daily. During this time, I feel that my sila has gone backwards. I am quicker to anger and I have less patience and I feel less open to my loved ones and to the people around me. Could I ask you to please offer your thoughts on why this would be the case and what a reasonable and helpful perspective on this might be? There are several points that I could perhaps mention, starting with the suggestion that if you think of light as a metaphor for attention, and if you've ever experimented with using a magnifying glass to concentrate light and burn a piece of paper, you know that the same dynamic of light can function very differently once it's concentrated. Likewise, attention can function very differently when it's concentrated. And if you have been increasing your effort in formal meditation, it's quite likely that the energy you generate will, in effect, dissolve some of the habits of denial that you've accumulated through your life. Everybody accumulates habits of denial to varying degrees. Once we engage in various spiritual exercises like meditation or chanting and disciplining eating, also with physical exercises, jogging, swimming, then the effect this can have might be quite unexpected. And so it seems from your question that you're surprised that your increased commitment to formal practice is having an effect that you hadn't anticipated. You talk about sila going backwards. The way that sila is generally interpreted is it's referring to the five precepts. However, I think what you're talking about is your ability to restrain heedlessness has gone backwards. And that seems perfectly logical. The habits we develop in denying anger, denying sadness, denying the dukkha of life, these habits that we accumulate out of unawareness, and we don't even know that they exist. We don't even know we have these habits, most of us. And if we see them as like structures that end up defending our hearts against what we feel, then when we engage the spiritual exercises, then those structures can well be dissolved and or fall away. And what you get is what you've been avoiding all these years. And that doesn't necessarily mean there's anything particularly wrong with you. This is perfectly normal. It is, though, useful to prepare ourselves for such things to happen. We might like to think that, oh, the more I meditate, the more I read Dhamma, then the nicer human being I'm going to be. Well, guess what? You might end up realizing that you perhaps have some not so nice parts of your being stored away in unawareness. And if we can remember this, then we can welcome it. It may not feel like the reaction you would normally have. You don't want to know about this stuff. That's why I got denied. So when we notice such things happening as you described there, and you're quick to anger and distancing yourself from your loved ones, of course you make the intentional effort to restrain that heedlessness as soon as you notice it. Though understanding it is also important. We don't want to just keep using willful effort to restrain as a way of managing life. You find a way of getting deeper. What's really going on here? Well, as I suggest, what's really going on here is it's cleaning out that which has been denied. Or to use the other metaphor which I've often referred to, it's like going down into the basement and seeing what we've pushed down there. We didn't even know we were doing it. So we don't have to blame ourselves for it. And In fact, quite the opposite. Now you start to discover it, you can feel good about it. As I've often mentioned before, put your hands together in Anjali in the center of your chest and say, "Welcome, Ajahn Dukkha. Please teach me what I need to learn." So that's one thing, is sorting out that which we've previously ignored or avoided. Perhaps another point worth mentioning is that a lot of people will make a mistake of conflating mindfulness, meditation, and concentration. It's indeed the case the Buddha encouraged embodied mindfulness, for sure. However, if we are coming from a place of having compulsive tendencies to control life, which again is very normal for most of us in our culture these days, it's not always the case in all cultures and throughout all times. However, where we're at in our current evolution, it is very normal. Most people are locked into habits of compulsively controlling. And if we bring that tendency into our formal meditation, then instead of being mindful of the body breathing in and breathing out in an expanded, open-hearted, feeling manner, we can be making a willful effort to concentrate attention. And that approach to formal meditation can throw us even more out of balance, trying too hard to become peaceful. Depending on the way you've learnt meditation, it is true some teachers will talk about now determined to make your mind peaceful. Well, it might sound like a good idea, although it's like telling a little child, now sit down and be quiet. They might manage it for a few seconds and then they're all over the place again. Unruly, exuberant children are not going to just settle down and be quiet because you want them to or you tell them to. And likewise, our unruly, undisciplined heart is not going to become peaceful just because we want it to. We need to be very skillful and agile in how we approach formal meditation. This is one reason why I've offered those 5 and 10 minute guided meditation exercises. Very gently, sensitively paying attention to the head, the heart, the belly, as a way of including all of our being in this exercise. The very word mindfulness can tend to take people up to their heads and think that that meditation is a mental exercise. It's got a mental aspect to it, and we do need to pay attention to what's going on in our heads, for sure. Though that's not enough. It's all of us. The Mahasatipatthana Sutta, the discourse on setting up the foundations of mindfulness, encouragement to include all of our being in this practice. If it's the case that you are trying too hard and constricting and contracting your attention with the desire to become peaceful, well, as I was saying, it could end up throwing you more out of balance, and your uninspected tendencies to lean towards anger could become potentized. What's called for is an embodied, open-hearted, sensitive, determined quality of attention. Not just starting meditation and diving into, now I'm going to concentrate on the breath, whether it's the sensation of the breath or counting the breath, and starting with that exercise of carefully, gently paying attention to our head, the jaw, the shoulders, the heart, the belly. Carefully. And when I talk about being gentle or sensitive, don't mistake that for being weak. It takes enormous strength to truly, honestly face our habits of heedlessness. Enormous strength. So sensitivity and gentleness are not weakness. That's a couple of ideas that might be worth reflecting on. I hope that's helpful. Thank you for your question.